Podcasting is a complicated profession, which is why we're here to discuss The Book of Boba Fett, currently airing on Disney+. My name is Dan Morin, and I am joined, as always, by my compatriots, my fellow family members, gangsters for this series. Tony Sindelar is here. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Dan. Glad to be back. Hello, nerds.
And Kat Benish is also here. Hi, Kat.
Hello. Come for the commentary, stay for the Skittle-themed Vespas.
Oh, so many Vespas. So many space Vespas. More space Vespas, I would wager, than anybody thought they would see in the Book of Boba Fett. Well, we're here to discuss Chapter 3 of the Book of Boba Fett, The Streets of Mos Espa, which sounds like, I don't know, like some sort of film from the like 1960s. The Streets of San Francisco is what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, but at one point we did think it was West Side Story.
It is a little West Side Story. Oh, so many things.
It's actually not at all West Side Story. Not even really.
Yeah. So, super fast overview of this. We spend a lot more time in the present this time around, where Boba Fett is trying to figure out how to keep a hold on Jabba's Empire, and he is basically asked to take down a gang of cyborg hoodlums who have been stealing water from a water vendor. And it turns out to he just decided to hire them instead because apparently they're out of work and that's what they're doing instead of working. And then eventually we basically have a moment where the twins show up again and apologize for basically sending Kersantan, the Wookiee from last week, to try and kill him, which we have a fight scene for. And they bring him a Rancor. And they are like, yeah, we're piecing out of Tatooine. There's no reason for us to be here. You can have all of Jabba's territory. And then Boba Fett goes in search of the mayor, who has bailed out, and they chase down the mayor's flunky, and discover that the mayor is working with the Pikes, in the flashback. Oh yes. And at the end, a bunch of Pikes show up on the Starliner there, in the flashback. Boba Fett goes to negotiate with the Pikes for protection money. The Pikes are paying protection money to the Nikto speeder gang that Boba Fett beat up last time. And he goes back to say, we're going to deal with them, and then finds, of course, as we predicted, all the Tusken Raiders are dead. So he buries them. And
I will jump in here to say, and I'm sure we'll say more about this. It's how you move the plot forward. I was disappointed that they took this path. It's the easy path until I'm stuck.
Right. So basically, we're giving him an axe to grind, or a gaffy stick to grind, I guess, against the speeder gang. And also, possibly, I can't help but feel the Pikes are involved somewhere there. The fact that we're sort of setting them up as the enemy now, when we have that scene where he negotiates with them in the past, but now they're sort of set up as the big power in the syndicate that is basically promised Tatooine. I feel like the implication is going to be like the Pikes paid the speeder gang maybe to take out the Tuskens or something like that. Seems like there's another level to unfold there.
So my number one complaint of Star Wars in general, and like especially movies 7 and 9, is when Star Wars doesn't make bold enough decisions, right? They tread familiar ground. And so this one, I don't agree with all the decisions, but they were really exciting, very different, very interesting decisions. So like a 1980s themed biker gang with like really bright, shiny Vespas that don't match
mods. Space mods.
Doesn't match anything or any themes, but it's like, okay, it's different. It's bold. I kind of like it. And I appreciate them doing something different about that. And I think that's cool. So like, and part of my reaction is, I think, adjusting to something that isn't particularly what I think of as traditional Star Wars is like, oh no, you're playing around the space and you're doing things that I may not always agree with. But I will say, I think the overarching question, and I think, for those who didn't read it, there was a really great Verge article that came out today making fun of what is Boba Fett's new job that I recommend. It was really good.
It may be time for Boba Fett's like 90-day evaluation.
Yes. What was his 30-60-90 plan?
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said here about the challenges of switching careers and how even someone who has been extremely successful in one career might struggle and make missteps starting off in a new career, even if that career is in a related industry. It's hard to be a warlord, it seems like, or at least Boba Fett is not so great at it.
there's not a job script out there, but the question I was going to really ask, sorry, Dan, I was going to say is, why does everyone want Tatooine? right?
Yeah.
That's the part that doesn't make any sense. It's a wasteland. Why do the Pikes want it?
So I think this is my least favorite episode of the three so far, because it feels like a lot of stuff happens for the sake of stuff happening and doesn't make sense to me, I guess. Both in the flashback, but even more so in the present day timeline. There's so much weird kind of unwinding of things that it seemed like previous episodes had told us to care about that now we don't care about. The most perplexing of them being that, you know, these two Hutt twins basically show up and say, like, we're leaving. You're too much trouble.
Yes.
Also, yep. Here is a giant right. present, even though we're leaving.
right.
You know, unclear whether Kersantan? I'm not sure how you say the Wookiee.
Kersantan.
Unclear if we've seen the last of that Wookiee in this show or not. Clearly not dead for canon reasons. But... yeah, like that. I was just like, but what? We only spent like 2 minutes with these characters last episode, and that seemed to be setting them up as important. And actually, no, there's something more important coming, which was, it was kind of bewildering to me.
There's a plot thing that's, you can kind of, I hesitate to sort of call this out because I know it's a thing that happens a lot, and I've been guilty of this in things I have written, but there's a ping pong plot setting. Issue
yeah.
where in episode two, we go and we see the mayor. And then in episode three, we go and see the mayor again. Like, we come back and we go there. We come back and we go there. Like, we're bouncing back and forth where he's just, like, constantly like, oh, I should talk to this person. Oh, I should come back and talk to this person. It's like, oh, no, you are spinning your wheels if yeah. you are making somebody be like, all right, let me deal with this. Let me go back to where I was. Oh, no, I have to go back to where I was before. Like, at that point, you've lost
like
your thread.
Game.
Yeah,
or,
it does
or
feel
project
like a video
management.
Game. Yeah, yeah. Where
it does
there's
not
just
feel
too
like
much
a story. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a fetch quest, right?
But, and then the mayor is not there, so there's a chase.
Right.
And, you know, yes. The chase was fun.
It was fun. It was different.
It was a little hard for me to care about the chase because the chase did not involve Boba Fett or Fennec Shand. Right. It involves
right.
these people that we only. It was, you know, basically characters that I don't know the names of chasing each other. And so it's a chase, and that's fine. But it kind of felt like we need action in this
yeah.
this episode to try and like spackle over the fact that this episode is doing some weird setup for future things.
You're on a 7-episode series, 3 episodes in, you are almost
yeah.
at the halfway point. You can't risk spending
your
time.
That's the part that I'm like, where's the second shoe? And going back to the Tatooine question, right? I will say it is unusual. They said it twice now in the script. One time... you know, you could write off. The second time feels like I might actually be trying to signal it is they've now commented twice the Tatooine used to be full of water, right?
Yes. Yeah.
That was unusual weird. To say that twice, right?
I
that could just have been a script thing.
There's something else that everybody's looking
That's
for.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Like, is like maybe, and this is where, again, I'll say it, I like the show, but I'm curious to see how this all ties together, is if there is something that explains why the Pikes want this, why the Hutts want it,
yeah,
anyone
right.
wants this
yeah.
desert. Wasteland
yeah
other than the Tusken Raiders
I agree I mean those are here's fundamentally again 3 episodes into a 7-episode series which is starting to feel a bit like we had an idea for a movie and stretched it out to 7 episodes because there's time wasting, as you pointed out, Tony, like bringing the Hutts in and then immediately dismissing them the next week feels odd.
And them suddenly being nice and giving a rancor, like
yeah.
why would they want to curry good favor?
Is there another shoe to drop there, right? Like, I mean, and don't get me wrong, I appreciate the fabulous casting work that is going into this.
Yes,
this episode,
saw both
yeah.
Stephen Root and Danny
and
Trejo.
Danny
yes.
Trejo?
yeah,
yeah.
The Danny Trejo for all rancors, great and small. I am here for
yeah.
this.
no,
yeah.
I think Danny Trejo.
That's amazing.
I mean,
not
Danny
someone
Trejo,
I expected to ever be part of Star Wars universe.
yeah, he is. I mean, given his long association with Robert Rodriguez, no surprise
yeah.
that he is, you know, shown up here. I feel like this is a great role for Danny Trejo, though, like just, you know, because I think that he excels at those characters who you think are like really tough, badass characters, but they also have like a soft, sensitive side. Like he is, that is his sweet spot. And
he
I think
great. It was true in the scenery
it,
there.
It threw me back to the Rancor Keeper from Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. And I loved that.
The cry
bit
scene
of it.
Was just like, oh.
Yeah. Where he said, well, you know, now he raised the Rancor. The guy, that trainer raised that Rancor and he, you know, loved that Rancor and he brought him up from a little Rancor pup and all that. And now you sort of see the analogy there. We got a reference to Dathomir and the Night Sisters riding Rancors.
That was awesome. That was literally, that was probably my favorite part of the entire episode.
I thought of you, and then there was also, when they made that reference. I was yes. like, oh, that'll be happy.
Yes. Huh. I love the Witches of Dathomir.
And there was a throwaway cameo at the very beginning, you caught, Kat, which I missed, of the woman from Mandalorian.
Oh, that's right.
Who works for the droids is walking yes. by in the background at mm-hmm. the very beginning. So establishing our timeline a little bit. It's unclear to me. We talked about this, too. We don't know how long he's been in the Sarlacc, and we don't know how long he spent with the Tuskens. So it's unclear to me how much before the events of the Mandalorian this is.
Mm-hmm.
Or after, I mean, like, so before yeah, the
is
flashbacks.
It weeks, months, years.
Right, yeah. exactly. Yeah. How far are the flashbacks before where we catch up with the Mandalorian, where he finds his armor? It does feel like we're getting closer to that point. I mean, certainly, it seems as though, again, as I said last week, I would be surprised if we didn't see a flashback scene with him patching up Fennec and explaining a little bit of why he chose to save her, because mm-hmm. we don't really understand that either. Other than, like, everyone, it just turns out all over that Boba Fett's just a nicer guy than we thought. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm starting to wonder if he really was a badass bounty hunter, or maybe he was just...
The disintegration was a mistake,
that's
and he's living mm-hmm. it down ever since then.
Way too many people, and he got called on it. But, like, everybody thought he was really bad. Oh, yeah, watch out for that guy. He'll disintegrate you at the drop of a hat.
I'm almost sad that we called it that the sand people were going to get killed off to free him up for other narrative things. That we were right, because that felt very predictable, and B, that it happened so quickly. Like, you know, literally the last episode ended with, like, you are now part of the tribe. Next episode, the tribe is dead. They've been killed biker gangs.
It's a little lazy.
It's very much like a Disney-esque story there of, we need to make you an orphan now and give you a story. But I agree. I was expecting that to be, like, the final culmination of a motivation, not sort of a motivation on the path to his story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we should acknowledge also, I saw a great thread on Twitter talking about sort of, you know, from an indigenous person's perspective, talking about the representation, and they were very positive on the representation of it, but they also had sort of picked up on the same sort of cues, like, I feel like they're going to kill all these people, and that's a real shame, because it plays into the tropes that we are trying to sort of rehabilitate or subvert. Right, by having, you know, somebody like Temuera Morrison instead of sort of your traditional white savior role, we're sort of playing with that, but then they went down the same path. So I agree. I'm disappointed. I find it a little lazy and tropish. I don't know what else is coming in that regard, but it did not give me the most hope for this. I have enjoyed a lot of this, but I am definitely a little more
wary?
Yeah, and just more, not as engaged as I was in The Mandalorian. I mean, The Mandalorian, every week, I was...
from the very moment
like, on the edge of my seat. And this, I'm just like, it's like watching Boba Fett muddling around and trying to figure out what he's doing.
It may be that, you know, Dave Filoni was doing, was pretty key to The Mandalorian success. And though I guess he's going to direct an episode, all of these episodes are written by Jon Favreau, and... You know, they feel Star Wars-y.
Sure.
You know, it is well executed, but the plotting is kind of a mess.
I feel like they're good, they stick together, they're fine, but the magic of The Mandalorian, I'm just like, I, this is the worst word ever, but like the grippiness, I'm sure you guys might have a better word for that.
Tackiness.
It's just... it's just not there. Well, I don't care about Boba Fett.
Yeah.
I care about Fennec Shand. I don't care about Boba Fett.
I think for me, the world is it's still extremely well realized and feels very consistent with Star Wars, as we were saying. I did find that the Vespa gang / West Side Story gang is a bit like, I mean, they're not, it's not that they're un-Star Wars-y, it's that they're prequel-ish. It felt very much like something out of Attack of the Clones.
They are George Lucas-y, and I don't mean that as a compliment.
I come around to them. I kind of like them.
It's weird because they don't quite fit into the Mos Espa Tatooine thing, where like everything is sandblasted and
grimy,
you know, some sort of bleached.
Kind of like the idea that like it's. Oh, sorry. Please go.
I like the story part where it's like, you know, Steven Root comes to you and I have a problem, and he comes up with an unorthodox solution, which is actually, you all work for me now, and Steven Root here, take, you know, some fraction of the money you think you're owed to because ripping people off. I enjoy that. But yeah, I felt unsure about, I mean, we know there are cyborgs in the Star Wars world, but it felt weird to kind of, I guess this was,
there's a weird,
this was new
bit
territory.
At the end. There's a weird bit at the end where he's
where
talking
he has
to the guy
call with the hollow.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah, but like
that
the,
was great.
No, but the point where he's like, oh, keep yeah. your eyes out.
Keep
oh,
your eye
sorry.
It.
It's like, no, yeah. it's fine. I'm proud of my eye, and it's like, okay. Yeah. That's cool, okay. but also a random thing to volunteer to your boss when you're on a phone call.
I will stick up for Jen and the holograms here. Like they stuck out, but I think what I enjoyed about them is that I can completely tell myself a believable backstory about, yeah, there's a bunch of surly, like, teens and 20-year-olds who are reacting against the Tatooine life, and the way they're doing that is by, like, everything sandblasted and ugly, but, like, almost the exact opposite of goths right here. It's like, we're going to be as colorful and, like, pleather as possible rather than sandblasted everything grays and browns. But cyborgs, yeah, I mean, sure. We had, right, was it so, Lobot?
Yeah, we did Lobot. Yeah.
I could tell myself a story of, like, why they stuck out so much.
Technically, Luke Skywalker, also a cyborg.
Thank you. That's a good point.
Yeah. I was going to say, so the world to me, I actually think for the most part is pretty solid. I think I agree. Where it's mainly falling down for me is in the mechanical aspect.
Yeah.
Both the plot that feels like it's unwinding a mystery, but like a mystery that we don't care about.
Yeah.
And also the character development, I will agree, we have a lot of flatness. I think the problem is so much of Boba Fett was reliant on him being a man of mystery. And it is a struggle when you turn him into just a person, which is fine, but like a person who doesn't have any motivations or really wants or desires. Like, I think I don't mind having a face put to Boba Fett or him being sort of fleshed out. But at the moment, he's very shallow. Like, there's not a lot to him there.
Well, and it's weird because there's not a lot to him. But at the same time, it's very unclear what motivates him.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I struggle with now that we are three episodes in. Why do you care about that? Why do you want to be?
Yeah,
why
right.
do you want to take over Jabba the Hutt's empire? You know, I almost wish there was like more Fennec Shand, because Boba Fett doesn't really say or do anything or emote very much, but it's just it's his motivations are completely opaque to me, and therefore it's hard for me to care about what he's doing or when he's successful or not. And going back to, is Boba Fett a good warlord or not, or crime boss, whatever title he's aspiring to, daimyo, it seems like he can't make up his mind. Like, it's like, you know, there's assassins out to get me, but I really want to get into my new hobby, my new passion,
rancor
riding. And it's like,
but this is where,
Boba Fett,
oh, sorry.
You have to focus here, buddy. There are people out to kill you. You control no territory. It's like just you and Fennec Shand and a robot in that throne room. And, you know, a Wookiee just walked into your bedroom and attacked you at night.
Yeah.
And you need to be on a hiring spree here. You got to set up an HR department. You know, there's
a
lot
security
to
system.
Do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be fair, like, it is somewhat humorous the number of times he's been attacked and just been so reliant on others. And you're supposed to be like, wait, this is Boba Fett. He's the most fearsome one in the galaxy. But this is where
he's sleeping.
In the back to tank. But this is where I wonder if either of us were writing. And again, we're not. So, I mean, can't second guess them too much. But I kind of wonder if it's really hard to tell the motivation of Boba Fett after everything we've known about him. If they had started with Boba Fett before the main series to understand his motivation for what he became a bounty hunter, then I think we could pick it up and tell some story. So I kind of wish they had taken the flashbacks a bit further. And I kind of feel like maybe that's doing when they keep showing him waking up on Kamino and seeing his father left him. Like, maybe there's some driving urge there for a family of something, but they haven't delved into that. But I think telling the motivation after we know so much about him makes it really challenging to create a new motivation.
Yeah.
You're like painting on an easel that's just not absorbing any of it.
We
so
have
it just slides
retroactively off. Like, when we get towards the end or something, if they do reveal it, we have to like go fill in the blanks in reverse. Yeah. And like, there is a little bit, there's a very small amount of Boba Fett in the Clone Wars animated series, but mostly as like a young, like an older kid / young teen, like preteen era. We never see him as sort of a young, adult, I mean like 20s, 30s, like he's clearly in his 40s, 50s now, like hard to tell. They've kind of scarred him and everything, so you don't get a clear age. I think Temuera Morrison is a bit older than that even, but it is tough. We still have a huge gap in his life, and that's like a formative era, right? Like where he is being the badass bounty hunter, and the, like we see about 5 minutes of that in like the original trilogy, mm-hmm. and that's it. And he doesn't have a character in the original five and, in the real original trilogy.
Well, and there's even, you know, I guess he hates the Empire because we get a couple minutes of him in The Mandalorian in that episode where he shows up and murders 35 stormtroopers outside the one location shot in The Mandalorian, which was directed also by that episode was directed by Robert Rodriguez too. But yeah, it's just like, why is he doing whatever he's doing? Why is he not better at it? / what does he care about? There's the scene early in this episode where the droid voiced by Matt Berry does the info dump about the status quo in Mos Espa, and that I think I especially felt like, why is this here now?
Yeah, right? It was like super interesting to show it all. I think they're trying to figure out who sent killers, but to say the mayor has power, but now the mayor has joined the Pikes, so maybe
yeah,
the mayor
that
does
needed
have power.
To be first of all that needs to be laid out in episode one if that is
yes.
critical, right?
Yeah.
Like three yeah. episodes in is like, oh, okay, now we're
why
starting to get this.
Well, it was like, why did you not stop to ask anyone till now?
Instead, yeah, you visited just, a bar yeah. owner. Like, you really
never stop asking for directions.
Are they trying? This is the worst. This is the part that I'm most conflicted about. Are they trying to tell us that Boba Fett is bad at his job? Or do the writers think he's doing a good job?
Or they're trying
yeah.
to, like, we're going to do
which
a
would be an interesting premise. Interesting premise. Robert Rodriguez comes in. I want to make this show. It's called The Book of Boba Fett. Here's the twist. No child. Boba Fett is bad at his job instead of being good at his job. Are you in? Write a check. And John Favreau leaps across the table and slaps him in the face with a stack of money and says, it's yours, you crazy bastard. And then, you know, just empties a suitcase of dollar bills on him.
We're going to do it, and it's going to be a drama. Not a comedy. It's going to be a drama about a really bad boss.
Is this funny? I can't tell.
I don't know. But, yeah, I guess I'm also thinking, like, I wonder if they're trying to do a slow reveal of everything, and they're going to keep all the reveals to the end, but, like, you got to tell us something.
It's somewhere. Like that.
You got to tell us something.
Otherwise, that last episode is just like, guess what? Here's a million twists.
Yeah. And, you know, it's hard. I like Min-Na Wang as Fennec Shan. But Fennec Shand and Boba Fett both are doing, they're playing the same card where it's
yes.
like, I'm spooky and keep to myself and don't
stoic.
Say very much.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
like, could one of you tell us a little bit about what's going on?
I mean, that's why yeah. my favorite, honestly, my favorite scene so far between the two of them is in the last episode where they throw the guy in the Rancor pit. It's
yes.
funny and they have like chemistry yeah. going back and forth there, but I'm totally with you. They're playing the same note. And it's you can do that for one character, but you need somebody else in the story who is contrasting it. We can't yeah. have them both hitting the same chord every single time and being like, I'm yeah. stoic and a badass. Yeah. And it's but I don't care about stoic badasses unless you give me a reason to.
I think that's why I liked, we go back to, I think, our comments on the first and second episode of our podcast, right? The reason I like the flashback better is because you had more of that symphony, because the rest of the Tusken Raiders were playing to have some humor. You had some sort of superciliousness, but it definitely worked better. I think that's a really astute point. I will say, when you're not here for a second, I will say I also took a lot of joy in learning a little more about the Mos Espa economy. I mean this seriously, and particularly in the water scene, both understanding like, okay, a water broker makes sense. That he's basically price fixing and gouging makes sense. Curious why there isn't anyone else doing it. The fact that like charging a month versus a week wages and like there's no control over this.
Exploitation.
Exactly. Yeah. And then I think really interestingly was the kids saying they don't have jobs, which is a correct question
yes.
of like, well, what are your jobs on Tatooine other than moisture farming?
Also, how do they afford those bikes?
They probably stole them. Same thing with the water.
Yeah, fair point.
But I did, where I'm going with this is, other than just like, oh, interesting things about the economy, and you know, when you have to satisfy like those with the uprising, the low, like it's gonna be interesting if they go down the path, because I have no idea what path they're going down. But again, it was interesting in the idea of Boba Fett being, if they are going down the plot of like he is trying to be something different and not just a crime lord and trying to unite them against something and sort of restore the planet, to the Tusken Raiders, whatever the plot may be, is there was something again of something rot in the state of Denmark. So he did recognize this was gouging. He did hire them, make sure they had jobs. We got a bit of a jobs program here. He paid a fair price on the water, and basically
in episode four, Boba Fett organizes a play to pull at the heartstrings of the Pikes. I'm quitting this show. I'm just gonna say that.
I was picturing he's more of a Boba Fett New Deal, like he's an FDR figure where he's like, he's putting the people to work and he's
but he doesn't say anything to anyone.
We don't know the plan is, but in his actions speak louder than his word because he doesn't say anything. He is trying to do good things under the guise of an authoritarian dictator.
But that's the question then. Is he actually like, and this
but
is the fundamental
just wants
thing
to ride,
I think.
Ride a rancor.
I don't know, but
fundamentally I think that's the issue is like, I think the biggest thing I wondered about going into the Book of Boba Fett is we've never really had a Star Wars story, at least in the cinema or TV, sort of adaptations where we're following a character who is not a quote unquote good guy, right? Mm-hmm. Like we follow
Anakin Skywalker.
Oh God, it's good. Never mind. You're right. Oh, he's such a bad guy too. Anyway, you're right. That's fair. I will retract that statement. But
you want me to keep going?
Yeah, actually, and with the Clone Wars, we have lots of kind of gray characters who exist.
And Rebels too, like all the ones who are hunting Ezra.
We don't follow any. Like they're not our protagonists. Mm-hmm. They are antagonists.
Dan, what about this guy? I think you might like his show. It's called The Mandalorian.
He's not. That's fine if you're a gray character, but I think Boba Fett has never really been established because we don't know what his motivation is.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing. We don't know anything about what he wants. At least when you have like Anakin Skywalker, you knew he wants power.
Yeah.
He wants power and he wants to protect his Natalie Portman. Yeah. You know, that's
yes.
I mean, we can all sympathize with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, literally, you know, Boba Fett has a hat full of money and it's like, does Boba Fett care about money?
We don't know.
Does Boba Fett not care about money? The show does not tell us. All the show tells us is that Boba Fett has a helmet full of money. Enjoy that there's a helmet full of money. Whether the characters care about that or not.
It falls on the ground and they don't even bother to get it later.
And he likes rancors and he beats up bad guys for good reason.
Yeah, it's episode 3 and we have established that he likes rancors.
He doesn't even beat up bad guys for no reason. He only beats up people who attack him.
No. Yeah. He beat up the guys. Remember in the last episode, we did the flashback at the little cantina, Tosche Station.
Okay.
He did the Nikto gang. But he had seen them spray paint a house.
Yeah,
so really,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's against vandalism, we've learned. His motivation is he hates defacing property.
Cat, Dan, a man's got to have a code. spray painting house, bad. Stealing water?
Fine. Actually, that is a prerequisite for what I'm hiring is like, have you stolen any water recently?
Yeah.
That's my job description.
If you've defaced anything, you're out.
Yeah, you're out. You spray painted your logo on a tent and a house?
Get out of here.
No way. I'm hoping 4 will be the turning point. 4 is when we're going to see this all come together.
I mean, there may be something that we are going to see in the flashbacks that give us a sense of what his motivation is, which is a weird way to like have us showing these things that are happening for several, you know, at this point, multiple hours of TV without us necessarily knowing why is perhaps a weird choice. But yeah, it's are they going to answer that question or not? Is a lot that they are kind of still stringing us along here 3 episodes in. I mean, again, I like Star Wars. There's a lot about this. It's visually nice and it's fun to watch. It's just, you know, I said before that like the present day story with the gangster stuff is like, that's what I want to see. And then they show it to me and I'm like, but not like that. Come on.
Totally lost my thought. I'll hand over to you, Dan.
Sorry. I think that's kind of the issue we're talking about. It's like I'm here waiting. Like I'm ready. Like I am eager for you to show me this show. I'm primed. I'm your audience. I am the person who you want to be like, all right, I love Star Wars.
Yeah.
Please, like I will sit down and watch anything you throw at me.
Danny Star Wars. Yeah. You're all in.
Yeah. That's my name. But I'm still waiting is what I feel like 3 episodes in. Like I'm waiting to have that. It's something compelling. That's what it is. I like the world. I like the visuals. It's a gorgeous looking show.
And
I like a lot of the people in it, but it's just, what are you trying to tell me?
And, you know, to be fair, this is a show about Boba Fett, a beloved Star Wars character that is extremely merchandisable. Maybe, you know, you can hold out some hope that they wouldn't have let a terrible show about Boba Fett get out the door. So maybe there is more to fit together Or maybe they've already taken your money and it's too late, Dan.
I think I need to change. I think I've come around this. I'll give you my opinion. It's like, I think the show is awesome if you treat it a bit like an acid trip of like, I have no idea what's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to hold together, but it's kind of like wild and wacky. And I kind of like that. It's not predictable. It's kind of like episode 8 of the like, why are we on an island and why is Luke Skywalker milking this giant sea cow? Like, it's weird.
It's not boring.
It's kind of fun.
No, like, it's not boring.
It's fun. And I cracked up. Oh, go ahead.
I mentioned last episode that it felt like a weird D&D adventure.
Yes.
This one, even more so. But this one, the last one was like a D&D adventure where the players are bumbling around and like the Dungeon Master is trying to move them along. This episode, episode 3, is a D&D adventure where the Dungeon Master has forgotten what they're doing. The twins,
or has like really great ideas that don't translate well.
Oh, but I thought we were gonna get a rancor from them. They do. They give you a rancor before they leave, and you'll never see them again. These other guys, they're really important now. That Wookiee, I haven't decided. He'll run off, and he's not dead yet. But like, you didn't keep him. He didn't swear loyalty to you. He didn't go with the Hutts. We don't know.
He runs off in a direction. He just runs off, and I have to say,
direction.
It was not meant to be funny, but I was like dying of laughter at the very end. When the Star Cruiser lands and the Pikes walk off the ship, and they literally look like they just flew economy, and they're showing up looking around, like looking for a guy with their name on the placard. It wasn't meant to be funny, but compared to like when you
crime gang and they have to like book, they don't have their own ship. They're gonna run a city and they don't have their own ship. Han Solo has a ship and he's basically homeless.
And it's the Pikes. It's like a massive crime syndicate. And at the same time, I do appreciate when they show that it's like what you plan
with
in reality.
A serious budget freeze.
No, I get it. Like... It's hard. Or they're traveling incognito as Pikes. Is the scene when they go to the credits, they show the really beautiful artwork. I don't mean to make fun of it again. I really do enjoy it. But the artwork shows like it's actually really good. It's Pikes in two very serious, like straight line columns, like they're walking off like Imperial style and one Pike in the front. But then what they actually did was just sort of like milling and seething boarding. I'm sorry. It was just so funny.
I do like your comparison, like that somebody's like got the like little sign, like Pikes.
Yep.
Pikes.
Like,
this, Pikes.
Yep, there we go. I take you with me. Hop in. You can all hop on Vespa bike.
They let hoodlums with cyborg implants hang out real close to the boarding ramp to that. That
there's
Star
no TSA.
Liner.
Yeah, there's no Tatooine. There's no Tatooine safety.
Yeah, that's
Tatooine safety agency. That's not a thing. Clearly, but I mean, so we're left with sort of this idea like the Pikes are ready to go to war, and Boba Fett's like, yeah, we're gonna go to war, and I'm like, you got two Gamorreans and four rejects from West Side Story. So I don't know what you think you're doing here.
I think there's a scene in the trailer that we haven't seen yet. I think what they were setting up, and they didn't do it very artfully, I wouldn't be surprised if the next episode is Boba Fett now needs to go and recruit actual allies, and he's going to have a big sit-down with the three gangs.
The family.
With the three gangs that the robot named for us, and he needs to bring them all on his side. I don't know why they team up with Boba Fett, who does not have a great track record so far.
Or anything to offer. I mean,
no.
I mean, the alternative is next episode, the Pike show up and they're like, yeah, we're super sorry. We are also bugging out of this place.
Would you? Do you already have a rancor? Okay. Because we brought you a rancor.
Here's a dewback, like seven dewbacks or something, you know, like.
Yeah. Where did the twins store that rancor? Were they traveling with that? You can't check that. So they go from planet to planet and they have a rancor with them. But also the rancor has never had its eyes open so that it bonds with anyone, but that was not a small rancor.
Or was it? They said it was a calf. Maybe that was small. I mean, also, yeah, like, are you also, you have all those like people carrying your litter all the way up to the palace.
Every time that they turn, which they do, which I think every scene we've seen with the twins, like the conversation ends and their leader has to start turning. And it's like, that thing is not built to turn. It does not. And I feel so bad for the people
shuffling
to try and turn it 180 degrees. So
I will say of the scenes in this week's episode, I think my favorite was I really enjoyed the fight with Kersantan. I thought that was a lot of fun.
It was
well staged, even though
visually exciting.
Yeah. Even though Boba Fett gets his ass kicked. Like, it was still kind of threatening. It had a great moment, like, you know, pulling him out of the back to tank, I thought was cool and effective. And I thought they did a great job. Whoever played the Kersantan in there is doing a good physicality was really great. Mm-hmm. Like, because we all know Chewbacca, right? And we've seen some other Wookiees in other movies, but like, I don't think we've ever seen one that is as menacing as he is.
Yeah.
And that was kind of a fun
I mean, he's fighting what, like seven people?
And he like yeah.
and
he's
gets like stabbed and
he
keeps
bites
going.
The guy, right? Like,
and
like
they
that's
basically
nasty.
They only and they don't defeat him.
No.
They just trap him in a cage, right?
Right,
he is
exactly.
not taken down. But then somehow later he has these manacles and he's gonna run away.
I
desert.
Am shocked that Boba Fett did not try to hire him at the end.
Yeah, like, well, I was like, you hired the four scooter guys and you're not gonna like ask this guy for his resume? You know?
He's got like crazy brass
knuckles.
He's a
little intimidating. I mean,
I guess he's too
and again,
tough
I don't
for
know,
Boba Fett.
Is he gonna come back? Or because if he doesn't come back, that feels very awkward and weird.
If you're gonna like unite the Trashandans and I forget the others.
Trandoshans, the Aqualish, and the Nyctos.
Right.
No. It's it's the other one. Begins with a K.
The Klaatuans. Klaatuans, was that it? Okay.
I can't remember if that's an alien from DC Universe or
no,
it's
that's,
the Klaatu, whatever the species of Klaatu is, because it's
the three
Nyctu,
groups
Barada,
who currently control Mos Espa.
Yes. And then there's the Nyctow biker gang.
Right.
The gangs in Mos Espa and surrounding areas, very racially divided.
Yeah,
which, again, it was weird that we got that talk.
Maybe this is opportunity.
It was weird that we got that info dump from the droid when we had seen little bits of that in, I think, episode one, when he, like, goes to the bar.
We do see a lot of Trandoshans when he walks in.
Well,
yeah.
we saw little packs of people kind of eyeing him from the... And it was like, that seems like that would have been when you would have established that. But it's like, just in case you weren't paying attention, here's the info dump.
It feels like a slightly lazy attempt to sort of, like, have a Gangs of New York style. Like, here's the Irish
the
gang,
families.
Here's the Italian gang, you know, like, here's the different, like, all the different sort of divvying up by their backgrounds, right? Rather than having sort of gangs that maybe Boba Fett will be a pioneer and create the sort of, like, you know, he'll a melting pot of gangs and unite the gangs.
I believe it's actually the Democratic machine.
Boba Fett will be the new mayor. I don't know. Why does anybody want to be the mayor? Does the mayor have power? Does the mayor not have power?
Unclear.
It's extremely unclear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, we...
I'm excited. I'm actually now way more excited for the future episodes than I was at the start of this. It's just, it's a weird show. It's a really
weird
show.
It is a weird show.
It is a weird show. Yeah, I can't say I haven't been enjoying it. I've just mainly been puzzled. And I don't want, you know, I'm sure there are many people out there who are wondering how we can, you know, rag on Boba Fett so much. But I think it comes from a place of love.
It does. It does,
it does come from a place of love.
I think it comes down to, like, with The Mandalorian, you know, with bated breath watching, like, oh, what's going to happen next? Where's this going? And I think with this one, it's really like, well, why did you make that decision? Which is just a different way to be placed to be in storytelling. It's he hasn't broken the fourth wall yet, which is good.
Yeah, that's me. You're probably wondering how I found myself here.
Yeah.
Really looking forward to the record scratch.
I'm looking at the spin-off series with just the four bikers. That might have that. As long as we can like dig up John Cusack somewhere.
Can you name any of them?
I don't think they have
no
names.
There's the pink one, the yellow one, the green one, and the blue one, I want to say.
I think it's red.
I'll tell you, I only know this because I'm reading the Wikipedia article. Two of them have names. One of them is Drash, and the other one is Scad, which is a pretty good name
Scad.
For a cyborg biker.
Cool.
They do.
All right.
They
well.
Do seem like things that came out of a Star Wars name generator that someone didn't spend very long on.
But not to mention, we've still got the Jennifer Beals running the cantina. We didn't see this week.
Yeah, where's... No, I thought we...
No, we didn't
see...
You're
right. It was in the flashbacks. You're right.
We saw the Major Jomo Twi'lek. We saw the other Twi'lek.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
I am looking forward to the Disney ride, though, in the future with, like, Drash and Scad. Yeah.
Drash and Scad. That's right.
Star Tours takes over.
Oh, boy. All right. Do we have anything else to say about episode 3 before we wrap up here? Anybody want to lay down a prediction or anything for episode 4?
What happened to the lizard?
In the Tusken Raider camp?
It's time for a big meeting. It's time for the show to show us what it's actually doing. We like Star Wars. We're in this for the long haul. But sometimes Star Wars is silly. And even Star Wars we love is not above being ridiculous at times. And yeah.
I think it was the upcoming crossover with the holiday special that I did not see coming, where we meet rest of Kersantan's family.
Yeah. My prediction is going to be, and this is going to be, I'll go all the way to the left field, because maybe the show is that wild. There's some, I don't know, some big secret that the Pikes and everyone are looking for on the planet. And
oil. It's all about oil.
Yeah, it's oil. It's all about
oil. It was a
oil.
Long time ago.
Sorry. Space oil.
Yeah. Yeah.
There we go. Or what's the special stuff they have in Solo that's like the hypercharge?
Oh, yeah. The thing that begins with a C that I forgot.
Yeah, they get from Kessel.
Hyperfuel.
Hyperfuel. Exactly.
That's what they call it.
You know, I'm not disagreeing with you. There's some big secret on Tatooine the Pikes are after, and it's up to Boba Fett and his plucky new friends to save the planet and unite the people behind a peaceful democratic government.
What if it turns out that somebody on Tatooine has invented a way to get like free power out of sand?
Out of sand?
Like, well, we got a ton of sand. We can totally. It turns out it's not just coarse and gets everywhere. It turns out it's the key to free hyperspace travel or something. I don't know.
Dan, there are no bad ideas in brainstorming, but I think we are also done brainstorming.
I would agree.
All right. Well, we will wrap up for this week. That's our coverage of episode 3. We'll be back next week to talk about episode 4 of The Book of Boba Fett. But as always, I would like to thank my co-hosts. Tony Sindelar, thank you for being here.
In conclusion, Star Wars. Goodbye, nerds.
And Kat Benish, thank you for joining us as well.
Genuinely a pleasure. This is fun to talk about. I love it.
And thank you, everybody out there, for listening along with the show. If you got theories, you got an idea of what might be on Tatooine or what might happen in a future episode, or maybe you think we are totally in error of our judgment, feel free to let us know. You can shoot us an email at acp@theincomparable.com or hit us up on Twitter at acp_cast. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week.